Matthew Deagle. I'm your host, Matthew Deagle, and today I have a guest on. He is Michael Horn, the representative for the Billy Meier UFO case, and we're going to be discussing the might of thoughts, the effect of our thoughts. Michael Horn is the authorized American media representative of the Billy Meier Contacts, which he's researched since 1979. He is the writer and producer of the new award-winning feature-length documentary, The Silent Revolution of Truth, as well as the writer, producer, and narrator of the DVD, The Meier Contacts, The Key to Our Future Survival. He's also an all-around talented guy, musician, etc. And, Michael, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, I think you did it, so I can move on to something else.
So, basically, my show, as Michael knows, and as my audience knows, my show is mostly about how our thoughts influence our future, how collectively our thoughts are a major determining factor in whether or not we succeed or fail as individuals and as a society. And as it turns out, this particular UFO contactee, for whom, in my opinion, there's more solid evidence of an actual UFO contact than any other UFO contact. Because keep in mind, I mean, people have been given DMT or other drugs or been in altered states and seen what they thought were aliens. But on the other hand, there's physical evidence in this case. There are photographs. There's a metal sample. There's thousands of pages of scientific information. So in my opinion, as far as actual evidence that these are aliens, not some kind of collective subconscious force or something else like that, Billy Meier's case is the best. But nonetheless, in my opinion, and I think Michael would agree with me, the photographic evidence and all of that is insignificant in comparison to the spiritual teachings which are brought to us by Billy.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that it's a matter of where people choose to enter the narrative, the dialogue, the investigation. I consider the UFO photos and other physical evidence, which I, in my opinion, are singularly authentic in terms of the independent analyses that have been done even as recently as a year and change ago. I consider that stuff to be kind of the eye candy, that which will attract people to come and look into the case and move from there one way or the other if they choose to. And then the prophetic information, I call it prophetically accurate information. I do that a little bit to irritate people to think that they're scientists, because Meier has consistently published for well over 60 years specific information, scientific and world event related, that accurately foretold in detail events that occurred, unfolded, and continue to unfold and be corroborated to this day. It's actually staggering when I look at it that people aren't falling on their faces and screaming in wonderment when they do come across not only the physical evidence but Meier's prophetic information. So when you get past step one and step two for what the reason for the contacts, and that's something that, if I may say, in the so-called world of UFOs and ETs and all that, nobody ever questions if there really are intelligent life forms visiting and contacting somebody on Earth, anybody, why would they be doing it? What's the reason? The spiritual teaching is the reason.
So basically, it's about promoting our evolution. And that's something else, is that these extraterrestrials have intentionally kind of played tricks on us at times, tested our superficiality and maybe what you might say are just our stupidity by making things appear fake that upon closer analysis are actually real. And this has been a major trip up for some people. The other thing is that, in a way, Billy Meier is kind of a figure who said some blunt and honest things that's offended people in the UFO community, like that he's the only person in official contact with extraterrestrials. Well, I mean, he's the only one with the solid evidence, and as I said, just because you see something doesn't mean it's physically real. There are lots of collective subconscious forces, and I'd say that accounts for the majority of these contacts. A person can take a drug like DMT and think he's being abducted by aliens. It's a common occurrence, as documented in the book DMT, the Spirit Molecule by Rick Strassman. But when it comes to physical extraterrestrials, this is the best case, in my opinion. Not to mention that the information is much more extensive and logical than any other case. It's not just some kind of imaginary or wishy-washy, we're all going to have our space brothers come and save us sort of information. It's all very down to earth, and it really commands our own responsibility. It doesn't just tell us we're going to be rescued by somebody else. So. The other thing is, for me, one of the most significant pieces of evidence is that Billy has provided, believe it or not, the original gospel that the entire New Testament is based on, the Talmud Emmanuel, which was, believe it or not, written by the disciple Judas, or Judas Iscariot, Yehuda Iscariot, who was not a traitor. He's been mixed up with another guy named Yehuda Ihariot. All right, so basically, these two different figures were combined into one, and then the whole original gospel was discarded. But there's a website you can look at, tjresearch.info, where Jim Deardorff, the late meteorologist here from Oregon, did analyze the old version of the Talmud Emmanuel and found that there's a lot of textual evidence that it is the basis of the later gospels. For instance, it shows a closer relationship to Aramaic, which is the language that it must have been written in, because that was the lingua franca of the region at the time. They didn't speak Greek, right? Greek was a second language for most of them.
Yeah. Regarding the UFO thing, it is important to mention that the majority of UFO sightings where the people are not intoxicated, the majority of those sightings are secret military craft. And the organization MUFON tried to recruit a person who was already had top secret, security clearance, federal employment in weapons and intelligence and what have you. I know this from somebody who retired from the same company the man still works at. And when they tried to recruit him, he got them to reveal to him that they run their better information, their sightings of any actual crap or anything, up to the CIA and State Department for vetting first. Because really, what MUFON is doing, and a lot of these other groups, they are serving, if you will, as clearinghouses for the military, secret military, for feedback on how these craft appear and perform to the public. People don't understand that Billy Meyer was warned in 1953, about, 15, 16 years before MUFON came into existence, that MUFON would be a worldwide organization that would be his greatest adversary in bringing the truth forward. And so it's a disinformation organization that pumps out all this nonsense about UFOs and aliens and has all these nice, dutiful, field researchers, many of whom are sincere people trying to find out what's going on, but they're basically chasing their tails, running around in circles, chasing lights in the sky at the same time.
Oh, yeah, as I said, seeing is not believing. I mean, you have to analyze things and think about it. I mean, as a matter of fact, just about 2 years ago, well, a year and a half ago, I was outside my apartment complex, and the neighbor was there too. And he goes, "Do you see that? These three orbs are hovering in front of our apartment complex." I took a photograph of them as well. Now, does that mean that it was an extraterrestrial craft? I don't think so. I think, in fact, a lot of these supposed craft are really just either, well, I mean, like you said, military craft. Some of them are military craft. Possibly the majority, though, are actually just interdimensional or psychic phenomena, things that are from our collective subconscious, will-o'-the-wisp type things. Not necessarily. I mean, you think about it, 500 years ago, people would see what they call aliens in an altered state of mind. They would say that it was a demon or an angel, right? Nowadays, we say it's an alien just because it fits more with our atheistic view of the world. Doesn't mean that we're really right in either case.
Right.
And in fact, the Pleiaren have confirmed that some of these orbs and rods are actually an interdimensional species of insectoid-type creatures.
Right. Well, you mentioned, people seeing demons and what have you, and I actually want to take a moment to tell you an experience that I had yesterday in a bookstore. I went to sit and read a little bit and make some notes, and all. A woman sat down in a chair next to me with a book. And she was, you know, quite interested in her book and all this, but at the moment she looked up, and I happened to look over at her. I asked her about the book she was reading, and she said it was a book that was in the series about the Left Behind series, the people that would be left behind when the rapture, or the rupture, whatever you want to consider it, occurs. Now, what happened for the next 15 or 20 minutes is I was engaged in a conversation with this woman whereby I told her basically nothing, of course, at all about the Meyer case. And I didn't bring up UFOs. But I was able to determine after only a couple minutes, and this was confirmed throughout this conversation, that I was speaking with a woman who was, while seemingly normal, certifiably insane. And I don't mean that as a pejorative. I'm not trying to, you know, call her names. Here was a woman, a Native American woman, as a matter of fact, who informed me during this period of time that she and her family, which included five siblings, were all, you know, committed Christians, and they all believed in and studied the Bible and all this stuff. And she went on to explain to me the premise of this Left Behind book and God, and how she and her family are so grateful that because they believe in God and in the blood of Christ and the sacrifice, that they are going to be saved, et cetera, et cetera. And revealed in this conversation was, of course, the context of how everybody who didn't believe in this horrific fairy tale were damned as sinners. And I did ask her, you know, it didn't seem logical to me. I told her that the newborn babies, you know, this beautiful expression of life that comes forth unblemished and untarnished and uncorrupted, actually was a sinful life form from birth. And she went on to explain the absolutely lunatic cosmology behind Christianity that has been responsible for slaying tens of millions of people who didn't believe in that system. And we, pardon me, a little coffee today, but we know that Judaism and Islam and even Hinduism and other religions are responsible for their fair share and growing of, you know, travesties against human life and brutality, murder, genocide, etc. And I sat there, though, with a nice woman. You would not have known that she was insane because, of course, when she revealed all of this, this horror story, I was realizing simultaneously that she is anything but alone, certainly in America, in having this type of mind mush pounded into her poor innocent head as a child, and then this indoctrination being cultivated and furthered, so that she has a world view that all other human creatures, and not that she would even be conscious of it all the time, are damned and sinners if they don't believe a fairy tale that she believes.
Well, I explained on my first program that basically what we have going on here with the religions is that all the religions were founded by real prophets, but over time, heresies took over to such a degree that eventually everything was completely falsified. For example, I traced the irrationality in our society to the seemingly innocuous Catholic doctrine of sin and forgiveness, where instead of focusing on the fruits of that you shall know them by their fruits, as Emmanuel, known as Jesus, said himself, they focus on this dichotomy of punishment and assuagement of punishment, in which also the punishment is so exaggerated, it's intended to create anxiety. But I also explained, I've explained before, that there's really no such thing as Satan or demons. These things are entirely created by our own human thinking. And even if you think about it theologically, an angel is, according to traditional theology, angels don't have free will. So there goes the entire theory that demons are fallen angels, right? Because how could they have made an evil act if they don't even have free will to begin with?
Well, yeah, you brought up an interesting point about sin and forgiveness, because the beyond absurd and patently immoral idea that some pederast sitting in a booth can forgive somebody else for the wrong that they did to yet another party, and that the person who did that wrong, which could be any horrific thing, even possibly comparable to the horrific acts performed by many in the clergy, the rape and of children and all that, and murders, that this person who has been appointed as some representative of an imaginary sky daddy by other guys who dress up in Halloween outfits and go around mumbling in Latin, that they can absolve another person and not require that person to go back to, if the victim is still alive even, and in some way try to rectify, apologize, rebalance that this insanity of mumbling a few words here and there gets you out of the immutable law of cause and effect. This bit of illogic that's been perpetuated since the church has been around, of course, is another contaminant in human thinking that is also responsible for our political unrealities as well as our religious unrealities. And mentioning those two together, you then end up with a candidate such as someone like a Ted Cruz, a delusional, unctuous psychopath in his own right, who will lie and say anything as he's beholden to the vested interests who've already bought his allegiance and you know, pay for and own this guy, and are pushing him to run a country so that he can then carpet bomb the Middle East and do the rest of the things. This is the pathology that is at the root of much of America, and that is largely unknown even by many of the good people that unconsciously follow and participate in.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we can pretty much trace, as I've explained, basically Christianity is based on the teachings of the prophet Emmanuel, who taught things like meditation and logic and cause and effect. If you read the original Talmud Emmanuel, it's very similar to the New Testament in some ways, but you'll notice that certain things have been changed to a very negative effect. For instance, Emmanuel actually said, "O ye of little understanding." That was changed to "O ye of little faith." Now, he did say belief can move mountains, but by that he means your power of thought is enormously effective. He didn't mean that you need to slavishly believe in what your priest tells you, right? That's all heresy. Basically, the religions as they are now, especially the Ted Cruz type of religion, or maybe Orthodox Judaism, and ISIS is beyond the pale, are essentially founded on heresy after heresy, falsification after falsification, until eventually it's so corrupted that it's kind of an evil twin or a doppelganger of the actual prophet and his teachings.
Yeah, no argument there whatsoever. And actually, earlier when you said the prophets, you know, founded the religions, they actually, my understanding is, they didn't found them. They were not the ones who deliberately set up a religion. It was always the power hungry who wanted to control the masses, who took the spiritual teaching and twisted it and, you know, established churches and synagogues and mosques and what have you. I think we, in the Meyer material, it also speaks of how Muhammad, who was a true prophet, how his teaching, which was basically the same, you know, original spiritual teaching taught by the, you know, all seven prophets. Muhammad was number six. And how his teaching was corrupted by, I think it was his cousin Omar and various caliphs and what have you.
Yeah, his cousin Ali actually basically replaced the word. Because here's the thing, is that all the prophets actually didn't use the word God as we use it now, which generally referred to a collective subconscious force or a fabulous metaphorical mythical creature. They actually use the word creation in Hebrew or Aramaic, bria, not the word. In Arabic, I think he mainly used the word qadir. Same thing. It means basically destiny or creation. He didn't use the word God, though. The word Allah or God was taken from Christianity, which in turn began using that word under the influence of St. Paul. So St. Paul is essentially, Christianity as it is today is heavily influenced by the heresies of St. Paul. I know that sounds controversial, but read St. Paul's books in the Bible. You'll find misogyny. You'll find him saying that women can't speak in church. You'll find him saying all sorts of other nonsensical things that don't really line up with the teachings of Emmanuel, alias Jesus. And really what this is all about is that, again, our thoughts are responsible for our destiny, our fortune, our misfortune. And if our thoughts are illogical, we can be manipulated. And I think that's why the church ever more went in the direction of this punishment and assuagement of punishment, manipulative mentality, instead of trying to maintain any kind of culture. I mean, in fact, the church itself, you can observe a slow degeneration. They began with some heresies from St. Paul, but it got worse and worse over time, until eventually in the Renaissance, the very church that for centuries condemned usury as being a mortal sin suddenly itself practiced usury, had its own usurious interest-charging banks that were robbing the poor and giving to the rich. And now the church is 100% friendly with that kind of mentality. The church used to condemn the heresies and racist ideology of Judaism, and now they say that the Jews are automatically saved from birth just because they're Jews. You can observe this kind of corruption happening in all these religions until they reach a point where they are virtually suicidal. And that's where we are now. That's why it's so important that we pay attention to this teaching, because now what Billy's done is pretty simply given us the original books. The original Quran is provided in the book Goblet of Truth, and the original Gospel is provided in the book Talmud Emmanuel.
Right. Also, by the way, it is important to note that the idea of God, you know, the origin of that wasn't simply in the subconscious. It was that some of the extraterrestrial human beings who were here going back thousands of years were the figureheads around whom the religions then got based, because there were, you know, as you know, Matt.
Sounds like we're coming up to the break, but if you want to check out Michael's work, it's on theyfly.com, theyfly.com, and you can buy his books and movies in the shop in the upper right-hand corner there. My website is matthewdeagle.com, matthewdeagle.com. And additionally, if you want to call in and ask any questions, you can call in the toll-free number 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944.
Why do people order Life Change Tea? Because Life Change Tea helps the digestive system. Life Change Tea helps the colon unclog. The tea also helps with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and many, many other health issues. Life Change Tea also tastes great. And Life Change Tea is not just green tea. Life Change Tea is a unique blend of 8 different herbs that go to town, cleaning your body of harmful toxins, bacteria, and parasites. Our tea is number one. Are you ready for your life change? Let the tea help you. Log on to our online store of helpful products to get your body on track. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Not all tea is equal. Read our website of all the factual testimonies that prove that Life Change Tea is working. Health is important, and our quality of life is very important. Don't wait to order. Expect a life change with Life Change Tea at getthetea.com.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the 4 most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio Superfood. I've taken Bio Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
We have a great story from someone who's helped themselves to heal by using the botanical known as Carnivora. And we have a guest right now. Her name is Joni Nichols. This is quite a story.
Yes, it is. And Robert, I was a mess. I had numerous infections. My hair was falling out all over the furniture. Mm-hmm. One of the scariest things was that my legs were swelling up out of control. It came to a head. Within 24 hours, I had gone into a coma.
Holy tamale.
Mom and Dad decided to get me the carnivore's 6-week program. Within two weeks, Robert, the first thing I noticed was that I felt better waking up. Then I noticed that my hair wasn't all over the furniture. I'm like all excited.
And she credits all of it to her carnivora protocol.
This is Richard Ostro, owner for Carnivora Research International. Call 1-866-836-8735. That's 1-866-836-8735 or visit carnivora.com, carnivora.com. Call now.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today. By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
With Matthew Deagle. This is Matthew Deagle, and I have a guest here, Michael Horn, who is the representative of the Billy Meyer UFO case in the USA, in North America. We were discussing the concept of God, and this is an important issue, is that essentially many words have been confused under a single word when they actually mean very different things. For example, the word God originally referred to a fabulous entity, something which is just a mythological figure like Athena or Zeus, and eventually became confused also with the word Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh or Yishwish, meaning a king of wisdom, which was actually a human being, generally extraterrestrial or advanced technologically, such as an Atlantean or Hyperborean. Those sorts of people, those were actually just humans. So when you read the Bible, remember that when it says God and the Lord and so forth, these really don't refer to one thing. It's very confused between these three different concepts. The third concept is creation. Now, when the prophets spoke about what we now think of as God, the universal consciousness or the creator of everything, what they meant is the creation. And the creation, in turn, a little tiny piece of the creation is actually your innermost self. That's one of the central teachings of the spirit, which is called spirit, or Geist in German, Ruach in Hebrew. The meaning, generally, the other thing to think about is that, now I agree with Michael that religions are very dangerous in their heretical form, and yes, they do make you insane, just as our culture makes you insane. In fact, collective insanity is probably the number one cause of our problems right now. Michael, are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's collective insanity. However, as far as culture and traditions go, I follow Emmanuel's advice that I believe you should let the weeds grow among the crops, and then once the harvest has come, take those weeds and turn them into fertilizer. That's my approach to things like the Talmud, the Bible, the Quran. And because, you know, our society in many ways depends on traditions of some kind to stay together. What we observe with, for instance, Marxists is that they are simply sweeping away everything, the good and the bad, of our old culture, leaving behind nothing to, as a foundation, which is even worse, in my opinion. I think what's going on now, the modernization of society, is actually even worse than Christianity or Islam in their heretical form. So we've got to be very careful not to go in the direction of atheism, which I see as only a further degeneration. Because then there's no connection at all to the spirit. There's no connection at all to laws of nature. There's simply a do-whatever-you-want mentality. That is an unfortunate tendency we see now. We have Marxists telling us that all cultures need to be eliminated because supposedly national boundaries and nationality are the cause of wars. Of course, Billy has himself spoken out about this, that this is treasonous, that the European Union, for example, is treasonous, and those Swiss who support it are traitors. But the main thing we wanted to talk about in this program, though, is now we've kind of got the basic idea of what Billy Meyer is all about, is he is, he doesn't like the word prophet himself, right? You might call him a prophet. He prefers the word teacher now, so let's not call him a prophet, but he is, in fact, though, according to the Pleiaron, he is basically what you might call the second coming, right? So basically the biggest story going on in the world right now, not only a real UFO contactee, but pretty much the most significant figure to any of the religions in the West. And nonetheless, look at does the Catholic Church acknowledge him? Do they even say a single word about him? No, in fact, our governments and our religions work hard to cover up the Billy Meyer UFO case. It's probably the most covered up event, the most ongoing event in the world right now.
In all of human history, I mean, this is the most important, event, discovery, true story, whatever you want to call it, and yet it is the most suppressed. And it's obvious they don't want to kill their various cash cows with something as inconvenient as the real truth.
Yeah, and it is the real truth. I mean, I've studied astrology and symbolism for years and years, and it took me years to figure out the stuff that I know now. And then I open up one of Billy's books, and I realize that what he's talking about in it is pretty much what it took me years to figure out. And the other thing is that Billy's contact reports are filled with thousands of pages of obscure scientific information, which you have to actually look in some obscure journal or something to even confirm it. So the notion that one guy in Switzerland is able to do this, I think, is much less plausible than simply the idea that he's in contact with extraterrestrials.
Yes, exactly. And, people also overlook the fact that the man has one arm, one usable hand. This has been the situation with him, for now about 41 years. And, actually, wait a minute, pardon me, 51 years, I guess. And that's a factor, where he lives, his resources, any potential, collaborators, financials. It just means motive and opportunity are completely missing from, the entire facts of the case, that this could be in any way, shape, or form a hoax. But people are very, very...
Let's just totally forget about even the argument that it's a hoax, because it's ridiculous once you actually study it yourself. There's absolutely no way. I mean, like I said, the alternate explanations are more ridiculous than the idea that it's real. It's more ridiculous to assume that Billy is an expert in, like, 50 different fields of science.
Yeah.
It's more ridiculous. But the real important thing, though, is that the Pleiaron, in contrast to the religions, right, they do want you to know that belief moves mountains in the sense that your thoughts control reality, but they do not want you to be obsequiously believing and full of faith. They don't want you to take things superficially and believe in them. They do not want you to believe. They want you to know, which means that you have to actually get the books yourself and think about things deeply yourself. Because it's all about the evolution of your own consciousness. It's not about a new system of belief at all.
Right.
In fact, it never was. See, the prophets never taught belief. They taught knowledge. What the problem is that the word for to know for certain has now mutated into a word meaning to believe. Like in Arabic, you have the root amana, which means to know for certain, right? Like amen or amin. Yeah. But now the word is taken to mean to have faith or to be a believer. Mu'min now means... Mu'min means believer. It's very silly how these words... See, the languages, that's something else, that the languages on Earth have been deeply falsified by misinterpretations of the meanings. And that's something else, is that most of Billy's works are currently in German, and there's only a few translations into English. One of the few places you can get some good English translations is from Michael's website, theyfly.com. I recommend starting with the books The Psyche and the Might of Thoughts, which discuss your own power of thought, your ability to control and neutralize your thoughts. So look at theyfly.com, theyfly.com. There's a shop button in the upper right-hand corner, and if you scroll down, you'll find the books The Psyche and the Might of Thoughts. That's really what this is all about. I mean, yes, UFO photos are interesting. They've been used in the recent X-Files, right? The most recent X-Files actually used Billy's photos.
Yes. Yeah, and the original poster, I want to believe, poster is from Myers' photo. The other part of that, when we were just, you know, you're talking about the Might of the Thoughts, everything we see, and let's just, for right now, exclude what we call the natural world, all living things, even though this applies to it, but everything we see that exists in our physical world, you know, every item, every functional piece of anything from a napkin to clothing to cars to buildings, everything is thought made manifest. That's also true of the universe, of the material, natural world, and the immaterial world, the world of the spirit and the rest. So what we're, you know, shown and taught in the book, The Might of the Thoughts, is how to consciously observe, control, direct our thoughts so that the feelings that arise from our thoughts that then lead to other feelings can be productive, can be positive. Neutral positive is a term as well, but for right now, just can be positive in terms of creating in life that which we want and prefer, that which is in harmony with life, and which brings us natural abundance and natural happiness and joy and peace, love, freedom, and harmony when we are the masters of our thoughts. Because then, as Billy says, we are the smiths of our own destiny. We forge our realities. And our thoughts are ongoing 24/7. We have them in our dreams. We have them no matter what we're doing. So in this wonderful book, The Might of the Thoughts, as we study it and contemplate what Billy is saying, which is just so, so profound and so worthy of rereading in order to fully understand, even in English, you know, because I don't read it in German. You do, Matthew. But this book teaches us how this works, because this world that we see, the chaos, in terms of that which is descending upon the world politically, religiously, militarily, and all the rest of this, the economic reality, all of this is the result of largely misguided, not always unconscious, but misguided thoughts and misdirected thoughts and thoughts that have been ushered forth, felt, and acted upon in contradiction to the laws of cause and effect and other universal laws as to how things work. So, Matthew, you're right. When you point out a book like The Might of the Thoughts, it is so profound and it is so necessary for human beings to once again have access to the truth without the corruption of these idiotic and mind-enslaving religions that have...
Yes, as well as modern ideologies, because what I see happening, instead of evolution, we have crazy new extremist ideologies like extremist feminism and Marxism and so forth, which in some ways are really no different than these religions with their paranoid... They just replaced the paranoid fixation with sin with a paranoid fixation with political correctness. And therefore, they refuse to face some of the biggest dangers to modern civilization, such as the threat of ISIS. This is something Billy's also talked about, is you have to be completely neutral. You cannot let an emotionalistic belief sway you in the direction of the way that a lot of liberals currently approach the problem of refugees and immigration, for instance.
Right.
Because it's in the long-term consequences. Remember, something is good or evil, according to Emmanuel/Jesus himself, something is good or evil according to the fruits that it bears, not according to whether or not your priest tells you it's bad or your professor tells you it's bad, right? Yeah. But according to what actually comes of it, And what actually may come of this is literally the destruction of Western culture.
Yes. Yes.
This is something Billy has warned us about.
He warned it. You know, I have a video on my channel about that. He speaks it so clearly. He's published information on it. And what you're saying there is a reiteration of the law of cause and effect. By one's fruits, you know, the fruits of your thoughts and feelings, your actions will be that which one needs to evaluate and judge upon. And if you think, you know, there is something good in religion, there's the one thing that is where there's truth, and let's be honest, there are elements in religions that are worthy and they're truthful, they're just wrapped in so much lie and distortion that the overall fruits are pretty bad from that. But another thing that is a foundation of certain religions, and if only it was the sum total of the religion, it would be worthy of of regard. And that is what's called the golden rule. You know, the do unto others as you would have others do unto you, because it will be done unto you. Cause and effect ultimately is that, and Billy uses the term unbribable law. It's you can't negotiate with it. You don't get somebody, a guy sitting in a confession booth to waive the consequences of actions.
Now, so, as I've explained on my show before, that represents the dichotomy of the jovial and the venereal. Astrologically, you start out with God, which, rather than representing the universal consciousness and its neutrality, which is what God, quote-unquote, actually is, the creation, they represent God as this punishing father figure, punisher and guardian, and then Jesus, his son, is this assuager of the fear of God's wrath. It's a good cop, bad cop dichotomy. It's clearly intended to manipulate Christians. And the problem is that this eventually is what led to all this relativistic, subjective, and emotionalistic morality. Instead of things being based on rational consideration of the consequences, as Emmanuel himself told us to think, it's all based on it's all based on emotions and cult and arbitrary beliefs.
Right. And it is pretty insane. The problem that we have, obviously, is that this stuff is so insidious. It does, filter through so much of Western life, certainly life in America. And Meyer himself has foretold, as you know, and some of the listeners certainly may know, Meyer has foretold two coming civil wars. Which, when I first read that in 1986, I laughed at it. As I've said many times, it seemed preposterous. It's no longer a preposterous, warning to me, because we are so, increasingly polarized culturally, religiously, politically, financially, every way, shape, or form. We can see it unfolding. And he did say that when the civil wars take place, that the country will break up into five territories under various sectarian rule, and quite possibly it's going to be a lot of radical right wing evangelist Christianity. I don't see either Jewish or Islamic territories taking.
Except maybe New York.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. But I don't know. I think it's possible also that we'll have Marxists taking over some parts of the country, because these people are very, very active now as well. And, it's the same thing as with religion. Like, Marxists and these, whatever you want to call them, these social justice warriors, there's, of course, good there, but it's tainted. It's like a poisoned dish that you serve the king to kill him, they give you egalitarianism, and they fight against social injustice and wage inequality, but then they add in that they also fight against our entire traditional culture and against nature.
Yeah, and now, as you know as well, there's something called, anarcho-capitalism?
Anarcho-capitalism.
Yeah, that's it. And I invited, chief, a prominent proponent, Stefan Molyneux, I invited him to engage in discussion about the Meyer case. But he ran away with his tail between his legs. I guess when you are confronted with something that isn't just some pumped up, hyper happy, hyped bit of cultic nonsense, and you can't address it because it's going to be demolishing your illogic, the best thing to do is to not respond. Just go away and, you know, and hope nobody notices.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's so many extremists now, I guess partly because of the internet, but for some reason, I mean, real extremists, right? I'm not talking about what the CNN tells us are extreme. I'm talking about people who are genuinely, totally out there, detached from reality. Like Molyneux on one side with his bizarre idea that all government equals violence and that believing in government equals wanting you to be shot, and then therefore you should have, you should divorce yourself from everyone you know if they believe in government. That's totally cultic insanity. But then on the other side, you have the same kind of insanity from, look at feminists who say that, like, all, there are some feminists who have actually said all heterosexual intercourse is rape. And you have them saying, like staring at a woman is the same thing as rape now. It's totally insane.
And like, they, I guess they don't quite acknowledge that then they are here as, or maybe they do, that they themselves are ultimate victims as the product of rape. I mean, it just gets more and more ludicrous all the time because people have lost their way into these materialistic constructs, which are they're basically the product of people who are unsettled and unthinking and not contemplative. They may think in terms of materialistic thinking, but the connection to consciousness seems to be pretty much missing with so many people today. Of course, you know, pound away on your iPhone instead of spending some time thinking, and you're going to find yourself deeper down that rabbit hole.
Especially if you find some website that tells you all this nonsense is true and there's a bunch of other crazy people from around the world giving you the illusion there's a lot of you. That's what happens with these groups. You know, you get a lot of these really nutty people that are so far out there. And then the weird thing is that they, at the same time, the exact same people who are clearly completely detached from reality believe that things that are real, like UFOs, are crazy, right? They believe that's incredible. But what it is mind control. It's essentially, I think what's partly behind this is the Catholic Church has been mutating gradually into a secular organization. And via their influence in universities, organizations like the Jesuits, to which Pope Francis belongs, are trying to kind of maintain their power, but to shift it from the church itself, which is slowly becoming less popular, to academia and Marxism, right?
Yeah, it's funny you mention all that because, you know, the other churches that we have, in a sense, the secular churches, are the universities, you know, in a way. I have tried for a very long time to bring the Meyer case presentation on full multimedia presentation into universities, and it's been a difficult, you know, road. Just last year, a professional skeptic, a professor that I saw speak at an all-day skeptics event and then serendipitously met one evening a few months later, introduced myself to, found that he was receptive to looking at the Meyer material, while he even forewarned me that he was a quote-unquote tough nut to crack. A skeptical professor opened the door for the, you know, historical first presentation in an American university, and I'm glad to say I'll be back there in a few weeks to do another one. And this is, you know, I feel so important that we get this information in front of academia, especially the students. A lot of the professors, I exclude Professor Antes in this. I mean, most of them are so locked in with vested interest, fear of, you know, termination, lack of funding.
Well, here's the big irony. I mean, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to mention, like, you had to try for years to even do a presentation at Northern Arizona University. You try all the sorts of universities around. And at the same time, they were having, like, special nights where they were watching 80s movies and stuff like that.
Looney Tunes cartoons.
Oh, yeah, Looney Tunes cartoons. They're like, sorry, you can't do the presentation because we're watching cartoons in the auditorium. I mean, at a university. And what else is ridiculous is that at the same time, there is literally... Okay, I'm going to look this up really fast because I'm telling you, this is a real fact. Hold on a second. All right, so at Ohio State University, there is, hold on a second, oh man, I've just got so many notes here, but at Ohio State University, there is actually a terrorist professor. I'm not joking. There's a tenured professor. Hold on a second. I forgot what his name is. He's actually Hispanic. But at the same time that they won't discuss UFOs, right? There's actually essentially a terrorist cell being operated at Ohio State University by a tenured professor. And I'm not exaggerating at all. The guy is literally, I think he was actually supporting ISIS recently. There we go. FBI investigating Ohio University professor for ISIS ties. Let's see. This guy's name is Julio Pino. The FBI has confirmed it is investigating Kent State University, not Ohio State, associate professor Julio Pino for allegedly recruiting students on the school's Ohio campus to join the Islamic State. And he's a professor, a tenured professor at one of our Marxist academia institutions.
Oh my gosh.
At the same time, they're like, oh, we're going to watch Looney Tunes instead of listening to the Meyer case, presumably because the Meyer case in their minds is just a bunch of patriarchal fascism or something, right? They're totally insane because, I mean, these are extraterrestrials who've been evolving for thousands of years more than us, who established peace something like 50,000 years ago, all right?
Right.
And they know how nature works. They're actually a lot more progressed. Well, here we go. The show's ending, but remember, theyfly.com, and you can check out matthewdeagle.com. Maybe I'll have Michael on again on Monday, if that's possible, because my show is not very long, but it's nice having you on, Michael.
Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate it.
All right. Signing off with Real Astrology.
All right.
I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the most important products in the realm of health and hygiene I've ever seen, all from Trioxy. As many of you know, ozone oxygen is highly effective for many different uses in the home or office place, from purifying the air you breathe to the water you drink. In fact, the city of Los Angeles, among others, uses ozone to purify the drinking water for millions. Uses of ozonated water produced by the Trioxy Pure include washing your hands, disinfecting cuts and infections, brushing your teeth, and even washing and sanitizing fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. Meanwhile, the Trioxy Re-Ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable.
Do you struggle with your weight? Are you frustrated or discouraged? Think you've tried everything to lose weight? Tired of weight loss products that promise results and don't deliver? There are 12 main reasons why you struggle with excess weight and have a difficult time losing it. From overeating to hormonal imbalances, an underactive thyroid, even sleep problems, and even dieting itself. The truth is, the 12 causes of weight loss problems are all addressed by one product, Royal Velvet. You, yes you, can join the scores of Rinse listeners who have stopped the madness and no longer struggle with weight issues. Maybe you've heard them talk with Jeff about their amazing transformations on his show. Simply go to RoyalVelvetNow.com, click on the weight loss section, and learn the truth about the real reason obesity is a deadly epidemic that you can avoid. Then click on the Rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you will be on your way to a healthier, slimmer, more youthful you. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
Are you prepared for the future? Do you know how to navigate past the upcoming dangers before it's too late and seize budding opportunities before others do? Forecasting worldwide since 1980, Gerald Celeni, publisher of the Trends Journal, provides timely and accurate trend forecasts that have earned him the reputation as the most trusted name in trends. The proof is in the hundreds of accurate forecasts Salenti has made over the past 30 years. The 1987 stock market crash, the clean food trend, the dot-com bust. The Trends Journal alerts subscribers to early subtle signs of crucial trends that will shape our future. It allows readers to anticipate change, recognize the implications, and take proactive strategies. Put your money where your mind is with Gerald Salenti's brilliant and indispensable Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com or call 845-331-3500. That's 845-331-3500. 3500.